I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here's the thing. You want to be serious, Governor? How about you take to your social media, Governor Abbott, says that we've banned Sharia law in the state of Texas. That's an abject lie. You want to be serious? You want to do something real? Post this. Announce today, Governor Abbott, that you're calling the legislature back for a special session to actually ban Sharia law. Governor Abbott, you take to social media all the time and say that Texas has banned DEI. The reality is Texas might be the biggest funder of DEI in America. Call a special session so we can end DEI. Governor Abbott, you say we have banned transgender indoctrination in our public universities. I bet every single public university in the state of Texas is spending untold millions of dollars funding the transgender agenda and indoctrination of the next generation. Call a special session to end that. You want to brag about this constitutional amendment on illegal aliens voting in Texas? Call a special session and bring us back to pass any of the hundreds of strong election integrity bills that were killed by the Democrat-controlled, at least partly, Texas legislature. Those are the kind of tweets that would get me excited coming out of Governor Abbott, not some, you know, humorous, cutesy troll about an election in New York City that's going to have catastrophic repercussions, not just for people in New York, all across the country.
That is a Texan who is really hot under the collar and under his cowboy hat as well. Calling out Governor Abbott, saying, you're ignoring the Islamic extremist threat. We need to address it now. Quit wish-washing around and ignoring it. You say we've got control and we're not going to allow Sharia law, but you don't really have anything in place. And if you don't do it now, if you don't step forward, we're going to see what we're probably going to see happening in New York, happening in Texas. That is Texas Congressman Brian Harrison, and he is fit to be tied, as we say. And he's calling out Governor Abbott, saying, you're not doing the job. You say you're doing it, but we're not doing it. Now, I don't know for fact as to how close he is to the actual details of what Abbott has or has not done. Same thing when it came to shutting down transsexual surgery. But this candidate, this Texas congressman, not announcing that he's running for governor at all, he's just saying that we need to get this under control and get it under control now. And he's fired up mainly because of Mommy Mondani winning New York City mayoral race. That's right, Mommy. Mommy won. Mommy's going to rule New York City. But there's some that are already stepping forward and saying, we're going to put a stop to this as soon as we can. Can they? What can they do? We'll get into that as we move forward. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, November 6, 2025. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Rumble, News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, and also News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, and you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast when we complete each program. So if you miss anything, I want to make sure you realize that you can always pull it up and get it later. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have when we began. We make sure we give you a lot of material. And later this hour, corruption behind the homeless issue. That's really no surprise, and yet it is, especially if you begin to see the details. Have to bear with me, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, but we're going to get through it. But let me take a moment to tell you this. We have started, as of November the 10th, next week, News Talk STL teaming up with St. Louis County Republican Central Committee to do a food drive benefiting Feed My People. It will go through December 21st. There are barrels in place on Monday. One will be outside our studio here. We're in the Westport area. Also, all three Bartolino's locations. both Chris's Pancake and Dining locations, all three Michael's Flooring Outlet locations. You can take non-perishable goods, put them in the barrel, and help someone else. You're at the store, you're buying something anyway. Maybe pick up something for someone else that's not as fortunate. And it's needed now more than ever because, yes, the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is shut down right now. Now, they're going to get money, supposedly, before the end of this month, but it's only going to be 50% of what they should get. And we're talking about those who really need it and are entitled to it. There are a lot on that roll list that do not deserve it. But in the meantime, I don't want children starving. I don't want anyone starving. So if you're out, just pick up a few extra non-perishable items and drop them by the barrels, either at Bartolino's, Ruth's Chris Pancake and Dining locations, or any of the Michael's Flooring Outlet locations, or right here at News Talk STL. We tell people all the time, we do not need the government. We do not need to rely on the government. Well, these people on SNAP, they've been relying on the government. And they might really have a need because they truly cannot work. They cannot even volunteer to do anything. They are strapped, and it's worse right now. Yes, there will be some freeloaders that are in there. We know that. You're just going to have to accept part of that exists. So let's go back to where we stand right now. Oh, by the way, one other story I want to let you know about coming up later in this hour. I mentioned the corruption behind the homeless issue. President Trump making a deal today with pharmaceutical giants. Are you listening? Making a deal with the pharmaceutical giants that will cut the cost of their lowest doses on in-demand weight loss drugs. You know there are a lot of them out there. Wegovy, Ozempic, and so forth, and there are more. If you're having to pay for them out of your pocket, even with insurance, it can be pretty expensive. Our health department, and this goes partly also to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., recognizing that obesity is a major issue in our nation. And these drugs do help people. Not a cure-all, but it can help them. And some are even saying it. Maybe you're looking at obesity as a, you know, a third level of really not just weight gain, but amnesia. And more than amnesia, but Alzheimer's. There's a lot of study yet to be done in those areas, but there are a lot of people that are morbidly obese that this will help. And there are others that would like to lose some extra pounds. I don't care what you do. You're having trouble doing it. Now, I'm with you. Well, I'll fill you in more before we wrap up this hour on what's going to happen with some of these plans and how much it might cost you going forward. In the meantime, we've got a House GOP lawmaker. He wants to block any federal funding from New York City as long as Zohran is mayor. This is Georgia Congressman Republican Buddy Carter. Not related. This is a warning not related to that Carter. I just want to stress that. But he has some called the Moving America Moving Money Distant from Anti-National Interest Act, or the Mondani Act for short. It's a two-page bill that states, notwithstanding any other provision of law during any period in which Zohran is mayor of New York, any unobligated federal funds available for the city are hereby rescinded. We're going to take back that federal money, and it will not be given to them until he comes out of office. Now, this is a proposal. It's a bill that's really not going to go anywhere, but it's a shot across the bow to say we're not going to simply accept what you want to do. There'll be more fights over that. But in the meantime, there's a political analyst born in Philadelphia, political strategist and commentator Joy Manorino.
This is a warning to everybody in the United States of America, and I hope you're listening up very clearly. Islam is knocking at the door. And when Islam knocks on the door, they knock with a suicide vest strapped to them, all right? You are talking about jihad. You are talking about people taking over our government who are Muslims and believe 100% in the doctrine of Islam, which is Sharia law, it is jihad, it is taqiyah, it is every horrible thing you imagine. These people do not worship our God. They do not respect our constitution. These people walk around a black box in Mecca and yell Allahu Akbar, which is a call to war. It is a call to war. They're not here to assimilate. They're here to take over. Omar Fateh in Minneapolis, he almost won that election. He may win that election. It's still early. We don't know. Zoran Mamdani, who is a complete Islamist, he won his election in New York, and he won it pretty resoundingly. The Democrat lieutenant governor of Virginia, we didn't even talk about her. Nobody even knew where she was coming out of. She is a Muslim who wears a hijab. This woman is the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. It is getting worse and worse and worse. You have school board candidates up and down, Muslims. City council candidates up and down, Muslims. Muslims are coming into your government. And when they get to the government, they are not fighting for the American people. They are fighting for the Muslim people.
Now, I have done extensive remarks over the last 2 days that I have some Muslim friends, and they are not interested in jihad. They have assimilated, and they have no intent on overthrowing our government. And yes, if they worship Allah, that is their religion. Just like a Christian, I'm worshiping Jesus. But there are Christians who also want to destroy and kill others. We know that. I don't like broad brush strokes against any religion or people. But I do think the alarm is sounding, and we need to be very careful. We know that already, not only in our nation, but across the world and parts of Europe. Then Mami Mandani, once he got elected, he had a message for Donald Trump.
Hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
How do you respond to that? Does that affect anything you're going to do?
It's a very dangerous statement for him to make, actually. And, you know, you talk about danger. I think it's a very dangerous statement for him to make. He has to be a little bit respectful of Washington, because if he's not, he doesn't have a chance of succeeding. And I want to make him succeed. I want to make the city succeed. I don't want to make him succeed. I want to make the city succeed. And we'll see what happens.
Did you see reaching out to him?
I would say he should reach out to us, really. I think he should reach out. Right. I'm here. We'll see what happens. But I would think that it would be more appropriate for him to reach out to us.
And I don't think he's going to. And Trump said, I don't want the city to fail. They've elected a bad guy, but I don't want to see New York City go down the drain, literally. Once again, back to the political analyst and strategist, Joy Manorino.
Look at the United Kingdom. If you don't believe me, look at the United Kingdom, who elected a Muslim mayor in London and elected Muslims all throughout the country. They are being replaced systematically. The British people are no longer living a good life in their own country. The Muslims are taking over. They're implementing their Sharia courts. They're implementing their Sharia law. And slowly, slowly, the United Kingdom is dying. It is dying. United States of America, let this be a warning. Let last night be a warning. These Muslims are winning elections. The Democrats are allowing the Muslims to walk right through the door. They got a suicide vest strapped onto them. It's only a matter of time till somebody walks into the Capitol and blows that place up with a suicide vest. And it won't be a terrorist. It'll be an elected congressperson elected by a community of Muslims somewhere in the United States of America. Islam is the problem. Islam is not compatible with the United States of America. Islam is not compatible with the United States Constitution. Stop this scourge before it gets out of control. And let me tell you, we're getting very, very close to the point of no return.
And that's frightening. But again, I will insist and make clear to you, in my view, not every Muslim is a jihadist that would carry a bomb into the Capitol and do what he said. But every jihadist is a Muslim. Official word came today, after 40 years, Nancy Pelosi is leaving Congress.
After much speculation about her future in Washington, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has just officially said she will not be running again for office. Here's part of Pelosi's announcement just posted.
I say to my colleagues in the House all the time, no matter what title they have bestowed upon me, Speaker, Leader, Whip, there has been no greater honor for me than to stand on the House floor and say, I speak for the people of San Francisco. I have truly loved serving as your voice in Congress, and I've always honored the song of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace, the anthem of our city. That is why I want you, my fellow San Franciscans, to be the first to know. I will not be seeking re-election to Congress.
Great, great. I want you to understand, we did not add that music to that track. Her office had put it out. They added, bring in the violins and the flowers and the accolades for Nancy. Well, I got a song for her that we'll play before the end of this hour. And I think you'll like my song better than what they were playing while she was making that announcement. 40 years in Congress, and I will never forget, nor should you, what she did after President Trump's first State of the Union address. She knew she was on camera. She stood up and she took his speech and ripped it into pieces. She knew what she was doing. She knew it was being captured, and that's the message she wanted to send. And that's the way we've been living with her and all the rest of them since that date, and even before that date. We are in day 37 of the shutdown, and look for traffic delays extensively coming up. We'll get into that later. In the meantime, the corruption behind the homeless crisis. There are some folks making money. You knew they would be. It's a sham and a scam in many ways. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you. Susie Q. Like a wave.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you now, or have you ever bought into the idea, the way to solve the homeless issue is write bigger and bigger checks? The homeless issue will disappear. Here comes my guest. You do not want to miss this. Michelle Steeb. She is the author of a book, Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homeless Epidemic. She spent 13 years as CEO of Northern California's largest program for homeless women and children. Michelle, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. I'm really looking for a discussion today.
Yeah, I know you're the founder also of the Free Up Foundation. What exactly is that?
Free Up is, we free up this year. It's a C3 that geared thing, regions reverse. This crisis 5 years. So that Free Up does.
Michelle, I've got to interrupt you. You keep getting interrupted. We're going to hang up and call you back, see if the line is clear, because for some reason it keeps cutting off about every third word. So while we're in the process of reconnecting with her, we're going to be looking at a new investigation. They're calling it a groundbreaking investigation, backed by more than 50 pages of documentation from the Capital Research Center in cooperation with the Discovery Institute, showing how there is a vast system of corruption that was basically taking all the billions we were spending supposedly to help people, and it was not going for the homeless. It was going into political action groups. It was going into people that already were lining their pockets at the expense of the homeless. So whatever you thought you were giving that was going to help someone else, you were not helping them. You were padding the pocket of already the filthy rich. We've gotten Michelle Steeb back online. Glad to have you back. I'm sorry about the interruption.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry for the interference.
Yeah, and we continue to have it. I don't know. Hope you're not standing in the middle of a train track. As long as you're okay.
No, I'm good. It's still a little
harder. It's really not. It keeps breaking up. Our producer, Director Jerome, is in the process of trying to clean it up the best he can. This is an investigation. Basically said we have the homelessness exploding, even though we have tripled the amount of public spending to take care of them. So obviously the money was not going to where it should. Michelle, let's try it again, please.
Yes. Can you hear me okay, Larry?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. You're exactly right. We have, over the last 12 years, let me step back and say 12 years ago, there was a seismic policy shift as it relates to homelessness at the federal level. the federal government up until 12 years ago funded shelters, transitional housing, permanent housing. They funded mental health services. They funded drug and alcohol treatment, employment training, all in combination with housing for those struggling with homelessness. And 12 years ago, the administration at the time in 2013 decided that they were only going to fund one thing, and that was housing subsidies. So they took all the money that they were using for mental health treatment and drug and alcohol treatment and the different forms of housing and shelter, and they put it all into basically apartment subsidies. Vouchers is a good way to think about it. And literally, they promised that it would end homelessness in a decade. They said we would have no more homelessness in 10 years.
Right.
Today we're at the highest point ever in the nation's history, up almost 35%. We did triple public spending. And the death rate amongst the homeless population is up a conservative 77%. So this has been a massive, massive failure. And I am so glad that the Trump administration recognized that within, 4 months of their being in office, 5 months, issued an executive order and said, we're not going to do this anymore. It's insanity. It's had massive failed results everywhere it's been tried. And we need to, at the federal level, reprioritize mental health treatment and drug and alcohol treatment. Those are actually diseases of the brain that accompany, about 80% of the homeless population struggles with those diseases in addition to being homeless. There is
no one shot that cures everything, obviously.
But that's exactly right.
But you're correct about the 2013, where basically the Department of Housing and Urban Development basically enshrined housing first as a federal doctrine. And then, as you said, they began to strip away things that would actually be beneficial. Where did the money go? Who got it?
Well, that's a report that just came out called Infiltrated, and you can get it at discovery.org. It shows that what happened as the federal, and by the way, the federal government's the largest funder of homelessness in the nation. And so as they move towards this approach, what this report that has 52 pages alone of documentation sources for this information, what this report shows is that radical left groups started to infiltrate the homeless advocacy organizations. And in doing that, they started to retitle homelessness. You might have heard the term unhoused. That came up in the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Right.
So, they started to retitle this an unhoused issue. And these groups who supported tenant rights and, they all started to infiltrate these advocacy organizations. You also heard them retitle this an issue of, racial oppression. Right. So these radical left groups infiltrated the homeless advocacy organizations. And where you really saw this play out in the last 5 years is, number one, under COVID, the COVID era, there was, as we all know, a huge amount of federal money for under CARES Act 1 and 2, and then American Rescue Plan. And these groups were able to co-opt a great deal of that money.
You're talking about $3 billion to something like 700 different nonprofit agencies.
Exactly. And where you saw this really play out is when the Supreme Court heard Grants Pass versus Oregon last summer. These groups, all these 700 groups who took in about $3 billion of public funding, they actually signed on in favor of Grants Pass, which was a city in Oregon that was trying to clear these encampments, which were so unsafe for the homeless and so unsafe for their community at large. as they were trying to clear these encampments, these groups blocked them and ended up signing on to the amicus briefs that would prohibit cities from clearing these encampments ever. So basically, you know, straitjacketing the homeless into these miserable conditions that they were living in, and straitjacketing communities to having to, normalize this kind of behavior.
Well, most Americans have compassion, realizing there, but by the grace of God, I could be that guy or woman.
Yep.
But they're being played, and those that are in need are not getting what they do need.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you have $3 billion going to these advocacy organizations that are actually promoting, you know, left-wing, progressive left politics and agendas, and those dollars are not going to the people who they were intended for, who need them the most, it is a travesty. And this report, I just urge all of your listeners, get this report into the hands of every elected official you can and make sure they read it. There's, like I said, about 52 pages of source documentation that backs up all of this. And it's incredibly, incredibly deep and evil, and it needs to be exposed.
Well, finally, we're doing the exposing. What do you think will happen next in the next 30 seconds? What can you tell me?
Well, President Trump, like I mentioned, issued the executive order. As soon as government opens back up, we're expecting what's called a notice of funding availability or funding opportunity under HUD to fund programs that prioritize mental health treatment, drug and alcohol treatment, along with housing, and communities that prioritize clearing encampments, because those encampments are so dangerous for the homeless and so dangerous for the communities that are housing them. So we need to get rid of those things. Those are no conditions for anyone to live in, and we'll start to see funding for that here in the next couple weeks as the government opens back up.
All right, Michelle Steeb, I'm sorry we lost you for a while, but again, her book, Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homeless Epidemic. I strongly encourage you to pull that up as well. She is founder of the Free Up Foundation. Michelle Steeb, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, President Trump is sending a warning to Nigeria. Why would he do that? I think it's a good warning, and about time something be said.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw, Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL. And as they say, Miller, Sotomo, and the King of Ossadu. And with a voice like Alice ringing out, there's no way the band can lose. You can feel it all over. You can feel it all over, people. You can feel it all over.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If the Nigerian government continues to allow the killing of Christians, the USA will immediately stop all aid and assistance to Nigeria. We're going to do things to Nigeria that Nigeria is not going to be happy about and may very well go into that now disgraced country, guns a-blazing, to completely wipe out the Islamic terrorists who are committing these horrible, horrible atrocities. I'm hereby instructing our Department of War to prepare for possible action. If we attack, it will be fast, vicious, and sweet, just like the terrorist thugs attack our cherished Christians. These are cherished people. These are great people. Leave them alone. Warning, the Nigerian government better move fast before it's too late. If they don't, there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, he's talking about going in guns blazing against the Nigerian government and those who are persecuting, prosecuting, creating genocide against Christians inside Nigeria. And the left is immediately recoiling. You can't do that. Why would you go protect Christians? And part of the target would be some of the Islamists that have been setting up Christians to be persecuted and killed. Let me give you a breakdown of how it's coming down from some of the various reports. One, Newsweek magazine, they make it very clear, saying that his military threats are sparking fear and hope for Nigeria's Christians. Adding from the New York Times, Nigeria is now in Trump's crosshairs, rejects Christian genocide claims. Now, Nigeria is rejecting it. The New York Times is simply reporting it, but they're making sure that piece gets out there. It's been going on for some time, and apparently just recently it caught the attention of Trump more than it had been. He had a Republican U.S. congressman that he asked Riley Moore to lead an investigation into violence against Christians in Nigeria. Riley Moore called the Nigerian country the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. And he claims that 7,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria just this year, an average of 35 a day, others kidnapped, tortured, or displaced. The numbers, the stats, can they be verified? They're very difficult to do in that theater. Boko Haram has been the dominant Islamist militant group in Nigeria. The Brookings Institute estimates that Boko Haram has killed tens of thousands in Nigeria since 2009 and displaced more than 2 million others. Well, now the left, and in particular those who are going to support not Muslim, but Islamist jihad, are calling out that Trump is trying to carry out genocide against Muslims. It's the same old argument they pushed when he was trying to send back people when they came across the border. Trump doesn't like brown people. If the situation were reversed and it was a Christian nation and they were rounding up all the black people, especially those of Muslim faith, and executing them, would you say we need to stop it? Yes. We need to stop it. But too many on the left are going to buy into it and say, well, this is not even necessary for us to be involved in. I don't know what he's going to do in carrying out his mission. I don't like boots on the ground. And I don't know what it's going to take. And where is the UN that's supposedly overseeing a lot of this and trying to bring peace and stability to any region and protecting those who are being targeted for genocide? Where's the UN? Sitting on their butt in New York. That's pretty much it. there are a number of Christians trying to raise more awareness and end all of this. Bishop Matthew Hasakalog of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Nigeria's southwestern province is hoping the rhetoric will prompt the Nigerian government to actually address the issue and will put a stop to it. He told Newsweek, President Trump's threat should be seen as a step meant to create both fear and hope. Fear for the government, hope for the Christians. However, we know the issues are not simply black and white. And that's not a reference to actual racial color either. We're talking about blacks who are Christians. And he added, coming from someone of the name of President Trump, the Christians in Nigeria appreciate the concern. It is important for the Nigerian government to respond by placing short, medium, and long-term plans towards restoring peace and honoring that any form of discrimination against Christians is to be reversed immediately. He did argue that Trump's, as you heard him saying, guns a-blazing approach, mounted by fast, vicious U.S. military aircraft, could prove not a good deal. Now, that's what Trump was saying. Actually, how it's going to be carried out is not clear. And none, we're not going to be told that, nor should we. I'm looking at a reporter who's spent decades covering this type of conflict in Nigeria since 2018. And he said the violent conflicts between these groups, and not just Christian and Muslim, all that's the prime reason right now, is driven by poor governance, inequality, historical grievances, environmental injustice. Now, the environmental injustice here means they are putting them in an area where they have no water and shade. And he said it would be inaccurate to suggest this is all motivated by religion. I don't know how you can dress it up. If the Christians are the ones being killed and massacred, the Christians, it's a religious persecution, genocide. If the situation were reversed, I would guarantee you they would say this is a persecution and a genocide of Muslims. We've already heard that from the Palestinian Hamas issue, haven't we? Where they claimed Israel was carrying out genocide against the Palestinians. And how did that latest battle start? They had a peace, very fragile, uneasy for years, but everything was okay until that came that day that they carried out an attack on Jerusalem, along the southern border of Jerusalem, and killing and torturing, kidnapping and raping. So Trump says that while we're threatening this military action, I have reason for us to be involved. He said, we have radical Islamists, and that's a difference in Muslims in general, but radical Islamists committing mass slaughter against Christians in this West African nation. I would have thought that the liberal left would applaud him stepping in to save people of color. They're black, and he's saving them. But the left, they're so wonky on their wokeness. They do not understand where to draw the line, except around themselves, and no one can step inside and convince them otherwise. President Trump, in the timing of what he's going to do and so forth, it is still not clear. But again, as I read some of the various news reports, Nigeria's violent conflicts are about more than just religion, despite what Trump says. Well, I grant you that poverty, desperation, starvation, all of that fit into it as well. But why are they being starved and not being given housing and everything? Because they're Christians. You cannot separate that base fact. If they're willing to renounce Christ and Christianity, then maybe they would be spared. And there probably have been some that have done so to save themselves or their families. Would you do that? Would you do that? We'll continue to monitor and watch over that story for you. So I have to ask you this. What were your first thoughts when you heard that Nancy Pelosi is leaving Congress? I was hit with one very clear image. The Wicked Witch is dead. I don't want Nancy to be dead, but I want her power to come to an end, and it is. So to that extent, the Wicked Witch is dead. Yes, I'm calling her Wicked Witch. Witch, that's with a W. Do not put words into my mouth. So she is stepping aside. Told you the other day that she would probably do that, announce that, after the Mommy Mondani got elected to New York City mayor's race, and they wrapped up some of those other state races that were very important to the Democrats. And she leaves a legacy of smoldering ashes and people that she stepped on and spat on and crapped on in her wake. I never had a chance to meet the lady. And to be specific, unless I had a chance to do a full interview with her, I had no desire. All right, I'd mentioned this earlier. You might be looking at Wegovy or Ozempic to help drop weight that you just can't lose in any other way, but it is extremely costly, especially if your health plan doesn't cover it and if you are not fully qualified under what exists under Medicare Part D or Medicaid and so forth. President Trump announced details with these pharmaceutical giants, Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, that would cut the cost, the lowest cost, lowest doses of the in-demand weight loss drugs. The lowest doses of Wegovy would cost $149 for a month's supply if approved. And it would go even deeper down on some. For self-pay patients, Lilly said it would offer Zepbound starting at $299 for the lowest dose up to $449. That's still a lot of money. But additional drugs could be added at 50 to 60% off the current list prices. These GLP medications work by mimicking natural hormone pathways in the body to help regulate your health, increase your feeling of fullness, and improve blood sugar. Originally developed to treat type 2 diabetes, but in more recent years, they've recognized these actually can help people lose weight. And they have. They have been hard to attain, mainly because of inadequate insurance, steep out-of-pocket costs. But there's a constant constraint as off-label demand for weight loss was expanding. And that's why you have many turning to Ozempic as one of those to say, if I could just get that, if I can just get a kickstart to drop some weight, I'll wake up more rested, I'll have more energy so I can go out and work out, or at least do a little bit more motivation for you if you just start dropping some pounds. And I know you've seen the ads of various professional personnel, being athletes or actresses. I've been on it, and I've lost 30 pounds. 30 pounds. That's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of weight loss for anyone. But a lot of the public cannot afford it. Now, under the Health and Human Services Director, RFK Jr., and with the help of President Trump, they're going to make sure those prices come down dramatically. You're still going to need a prescription, it appears, at this point. And you can't take that and then turn right around and go to a banquet and fill yourself to the top again. Motivation does help people lose weight. And if you see the weight coming off, you're more motivated. You don't want to go back and start from zero again. Thanks for listening, as always. What did you learn this hour you didn't know but when we first began this hour? Friday's program and class will be in session starting at 6 tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.